open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me today is Nate Zastro, right ahead of the home opener for North Dakota State men's basketball. Nate, how are we doing?
Doing good. Looking forward to get back to watching some basketball. Should have a big weekend slate with the NFL playoffs. So I'm looking forward to a good sports weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to get into it quick, and then Nate, we'll get back to you. We have right before the last show, or really as we were recording, the news broke that AJ Blazek, North Dakota State's offensive line coach and one of their top recruiters for the football program, took the same job with Craig Bohl at Wyoming. And I just kind of popped in a blurb about it. I've had some time to reflect and just wanted to kind of get into it. I don't have a great line on who they might consider hiring. I have always kind of mentioned Rob Hunt as a possibility, you know, that you've seen a number of folks go over to that staff. Joe Lardner was part of that staff as a Bison guy. Carlton Littlejohn, of course, has been a part of that staff in the past. Certainly, you know, Rob as a Division II All-American at NDSU and as a guy that went on to play for the Indianapolis Colts. There are Bison connections there. He has been a part of course, you know, a running power and being part of Bison athletics. And with, you know, just a few weeks until they open up camp, that might be where they have to go is into the Division II ranks and pull somebody kind of up. I don't know as though there's another Blazek or even just, you know, grabbing a different FCS offensive line coach. I don't know about the logistics of that. It's a weird year. So just so everybody knows, like I don't have a great line on who they might retire. In staff options are not great. I think Roll could probably coach the offensive line because he's been working with the fullbacks. Then you have to fill that spot and get a fullbacks and tight ends coach in there. Their GA situation right now, or their quality control guy, Connor Sanger, is a guy I've had a chance to talk to. He's a brilliant young coach, but he's a quarterbacks guy. He played quarterback at Wisconsin and then in Division III. And Connor, I'm not saying he doesn't understand the offensive line concepts, because he absolutely does, but he's just not the guy you're going to plug in as the O-line coach. He's a QB guy. And so they're going to need to, I think, go kind of outside the organization for this one. And it just puts them in a tough spot. But I would assume that, Coach Bohl came in with plenty of money. They lost their offensive line coach to Brett Bielema's new staff at Illinois. And I wish AJ absolutely nothing but the best. I touched on this briefly. AJ and I became friends during his time here. We played a lot of golf together. Loved talking ball with AJ. Loved learning the offensive line from AJ. I mean, that was, I know so much more about North Dakota State's concepts and just what they're trying to accomplish just from shooting the breeze with AJ, and such a personable guy, a great recruiter, and just a good person. And I wish absolutely nothing but the best to AJ, to Kyla, and to their family. They're going to do great things. And I think you'll see him, I think, either as a FCS head coach soon, or as an offensive line coach back in the Big Ten, or back in a big, big spot very, very soon. All right, Nate, getting into this game with Omaha, I think the number one thing that has kind of gone around about these Mavs is that they don't guard. You've had a chance to watch them a little bit. I mean, is that the number one thing you see or that you get when you watch Omaha play is the lack of defensive ability?
Yeah, I think that's kind of always been the thing with Omaha. They're always going to try to kind of outscore you. They've had a lot better players, I think, in past years. But they do have some guys that can score the ball, which makes them tough on any given night because they might be able to outscore you if they get extremely hot. But giving up 79 points a game, I mean, that is a large, large amount, and only scoring 64. So, I mean, they've struggled to start the year. They've dealt with a few injuries. Zach Thornhill hasn't played in over a month. Marlon Ruffin, their leading scorer, missed a couple games. But they do have some experience with some guys like Matt Pyle and Tut's been there for a little bit. Definitely some big guys that I think that they should probably go to a little bit more on the offensive end. But, yeah, even when I played, Omaha was kind of the team that you knew you were gonna score on and just hope that you can defend them for different spurts of time to be able to get the lead and kind of roll from there. But definitely a dangerous team. They've shown that they can score in the past. They haven't done well this year with that. So hopefully NDSU can keep up their momentum on the offensive end. And we know they're going to be a good defensive team. So hopefully they can hold in the contested shots and keep rebounding like they have been.
So who are the players to watch for tonight? I mean, who are Bison fans looking out for? I know, you know, Omaha has had guards in the past that can score. They had kind of a wing that was a big deal. Mitch Hahn, he's obviously, you know, very much gone from that championship team 2 years ago. The guy I think everyone will remember is Pyle, who's kind of a beat 'em up guy. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, Grant Nelson with his length, but lack of girth, if you ask me, I mean, he's not a huge kid. I think Pyle could maybe get some work in, but who are we looking for tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Pyle and Tut are the two big guys that are going to kind of bang down low. The even Rocky matchup with Pyle is going to be kind of fun. It'll be interesting to see what lineups they go with. Marlon Ruffin is their leading scorer at 13 a game. He's going to get his shots up. He's shooting 45%, 34% from the three-point line. I can't really pronounce this guy's name. Ayo Akinwole. He's leading the team in minutes. He leads their team in three-point makes. Another guy who's going to get his shots up as well, but they're pretty balanced. I mean, they play 8-9 guys between 17 and 28 minutes, and 28 minutes is their leading guy as far as minutes go. So with a team at 2-10 that's playing 8-9-10 guys, that kind of leads you to think that they're just trying to shuffle guys in and out and trying to find a mix that's going to work, and nothing's really worked so far. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 8-9-10 deep tonight, especially with the back-to-back on the road. But, yeah, Marlon Ruffin's got to watch. You got the two big guys, Pyle and Tut. I don't know Thornhill's injury. He's only played in five games. He started all five games, but he hasn't played since December 3rd. So we'll see if he plays. Other than that, they got a bunch of guys who are coming in playing 17 to 22 minutes. So, yeah, I think it's a team that's just trying to find their rhythm and trying to find a rotation that they can roll with in this conference season.
Do you anticipate anything different with North Dakota State's rotation? I know we've been, or I have at least, been looking for more minutes for Jackson Notek. But let me take a quick look here as I vamp to get the actual line. But, I mean, I would guess, you know, that North Dakota State's probably a pretty decent favorite these next two games, and I know that there aren't going to be any decisions, made in the Bison basketball program based on the betting line. But this is probably, you know, a weekend where you're looking for a sweep, and maybe you're looking for, and I could be wrong, and tell me if I am, but maybe you're looking for a way to, you know, reduce, they're 9-point favorites tonight. And so they'll probably be 9-point favorites tomorrow or, you know, maybe based on the result of this game. Do you find a way to try and play Tyree Edey 28 minutes instead of 34? Do you find a way to try and play Rocky Cruiser 26 minutes instead of 31?
Yeah, I think Richmond kind of did that last Friday where he didn't really play anyone over 30 minutes on that Friday game. And, yeah, they were rolling in that game. So I think it's going to be important for NDSU to get off to a quick start like they did last week. Omaha is definitely a team like we've talked about. They can score the ball. I know they haven't this year, but if you can get up 10, 12 and kind of get into your rotation, then yeah, it would be nice to not have to play anyone over 30 minutes in this Friday game so that Saturday you can go into that game doing what you need to do. You got another week off after that one, but you got to take it one game at a time. So obviously if the game's closer than anticipated, some of those guys are probably going to play 30 minutes, but I'm sure Richmond has a little bit of a plan going into the game. And ideally, yeah, do it like last week where no one plays over 30 minutes and you get into that bench and save those legs. Cause I think this is a game, like you said, you want to win this one and go for a road sweep on Saturday.
We mentioned on Bison Report, I think it was just the Twitter account, the leading scorers and just how consistently different that has been, how excellent that they have been with sharing the load. So here it goes, folks. Starting, of course, against Nevada, Edie, Notek, Cruiser, Edie, Griesel, Edie, Griesel, Cook, Cruiser, Edie. It's really a group that I think has become really difficult to defend. You'll see that. I had a chance to do some BRTV stuff with Grant Nelson and Jarius Cook and Tyree Edie. That'll all be up today. We've got you totally covered, certainly today on Bison Report for this home opener against Omaha. Who do you think has a good defensive matchup, or who do you really expect to succeed in these two home games?
I think the guards have some good matchups. Matt Pyle is a load down low. Now, if NDSU kind of spreads them out and plays along the perimeter like they normally do, you could take a guy like Pyle and Tutt out of the game if they can't defend on the perimeter. So guys like Rocky and Grant Nelson, if they get off to good starts, you could lead Omaha to go to smaller lineups to create some matchup problems. I think it's going to be tough to score down low. I think NDSU is going to have to hit shots. But the way they've been spacing the floor with their kind of five-out motion, I think that they got to start with that. It's not going to be like against Western where it looked like they found different matchups and pounded the ball inside in the post to start and then kind of played inside out. I think they're going to have to hit some shots to kind of open up the lanes to create some inside out looks.
Yeah, and I mean, is that something that you think is in the game plan or something that you would like to see in the game plan tonight, is just the consistent ability of Rocky Cruiser? And maybe that's a way – because Grant Nelson's shot isn't falling yet, maybe that's a way that they have to go or play small. I mean, they do have the ability to play small. They've had lineups with Notek at the five, which I think would be really interesting. They've had lineups, with Sam, really, honestly, at the five with Desmond McKinney on the floor. Do you think that playing small or giving Rocky extra minutes and making Pyle float is the best way to offensively attack this Omaha group?
Offensively, I think that would be the way to go. I've watched Omaha a little bit, and they settle for a lot of jumpers, but there are times, especially I remember watching them last year, where they really gave the ball to Pyle, and I think that was part of the reason to try to get Rocky off the floor. So I guess it depends how they're defending and kind of time and situation, score in the game. If you got a lead and you need to make sure that you're defending and getting some stops later on in the game, I don't think the small lineup's the best thing to do. If they're struggling scoring the ball, I think, yeah, the small lineup's going to be the way to go because you're going to get more open looks. For Pyle doesn't want to guard on the perimeter. I mean, those guys want to sit down low. They want to be big brick walls and make teams score three and make you hit jumpers. So if NDSU has a lead, they might go to small line for a little bit, but I don't think that's ideally the best option just because you want to be able to defend the best you can. And I know Edie's strong. I know Griesel can guard a five and Pyle, but I think Rocky's going to be your best matchup on him.
All right, let's get you going on with your day. Give me a prediction. And let's not do specific score predictions just because we're probably not going to get together between games. So give me just kind of what you think is going to go on this weekend and in general.
I think Omaha is a bit of a desperate team who's won in this league the past few years. So I think they're going to come out with a little bit of motivation. And I also think NDSU is going to be happy to be playing a home game on their home floor. And there's going to be fans there. It's going to be a different atmosphere. I think both teams will be jacked up to have fans, even with Omaha playing on the road. But NDSU's, I think they're playing solid. They're a young team, and they're going to continue to get better. And I think if they get the first one, that they'll get the sweep on Saturday.
Okay, so that's where you're at right now. Is tonight's game is going to kind of swing potentially the whole thing, that that if they do get the win tonight, that Omaha's not going to be able to punch back on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be like Western, where Omaha punches back early Saturday if NDSU gets the win tonight. But if teams are losing, I mean, it kind of takes a pretty big momentum swing. And with a team, if you're continuing to lose, eventually, especially when you're on the road, that that motivation kind of goes away a little bit. So I think it's important for NDSU to get off to a quick start tonight. Omaha's thinking, okay, it's just another one of those games. We can't defend anybody. They're hitting shots, and it kind of drops their chemistry, their momentum. And I think NDSU's just a solid team with a solid culture that'll get it done.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. And in fact, you know, I mentioned there's just like a tremendous opportunity for North Dakota State right now. I talked about this briefly with Tyree off the air yesterday, and they should send like a box of chocolates to whoever put together this Summit League schedule, because it is really beneficial towards them. I think if they go to Grand Forks and get split, and it's entirely possible that they could go up there and get a sweep. But if they go up to Grand Forks and get a split, that's a 5-1 record with 4 road games banked. Then they host Denver, who's the worst team in the league. You have an opportunity to get to 7-1 at the halfway point, and then head out to Kansas City, who isn't any good either, or at least from what we've seen.
Yeah, I know we talked about it briefly, but I mean, it's not out of the question that they could go 10-0 in their first 10 conference games before they play Oral Roberts, South Dakota State, South Dakota. And while those teams beat up on each other, you can go into those games thinking, hey, we split these last 3 series and we're conference champions.
Yeah, it's not, I don't even think it's that far out of the question. Of course, these guys are going to play, you know, one game at a time, 100%. I get it for sure. And if Richmond's listening to this, he's probably like, will you two please just shut up? But if, I mean, you talk about that split potential at North Dakota, but sweeping Denver at home, sweeping Omaha at home, and then going out to Kansas City to play a team that isn't that good, you could be 9-1. Then you host the 2 best teams in the league. You go 3-1 there, or even just 2-2, but they're all in your building. This is a really, really nice setup for North Dakota State.
Yeah, I agree, and I know we looked at it early on, but yeah, UMKC is not playing great. Denver's getting pounded again. Not sure what's going on there. Obviously, North Dakota's 2-9, but it's a rivalry game, but they're not that – without Marlon Stewart, they're not that good. I mean, they're a young team. Rabach is obviously very well improved this year, but – and it was a grind in Sioux Falls, and it's going to be a grind in Grand Forks simply because it's North Dakota. But NDSU, I think, has a more talented team, and they're playing better right now. But obviously, like you said, one game at a time. It's fun to look at as media guys and Richmond. I don't even want to know what he's thinking if he's to us. We'll take it one game at a time, but it's hard not to look forward. I mean, I think 9-1, 10-0 is not out of the question. And then you got 4 home games.
In a rebuilding year.
In a rebuilding year with with fans now. So you get a little bit of a home court advantage against the best teams in the league. After Oral Roberts, you got a week and a half break before you play South Dakota State. And it's just going to be the schedule's literally perfect for them this year.
It is. It's nuts. And that's, folks, I mean, I want to start the fire early here. They're going to do ticket sales, I think, right on the 1st of February for the 5th and 6th series against Oral Roberts, and then the 19th and 20th series at South Dakota State. Nate and I were talking about they averaged about 3,100 fans last year during conference games. And right now I believe the Shack is offering 2,600 or 2,800 seats. So would it be cool to have a sellout? Yes. Would it be cool to be packed to the gills in there? Yes. But right now, as a country, we're not there yet. Okay. And that's not the safe way to do it. But it is a big, beautiful new building. And you are going to be able to get 2,600 people in there, 2,800 people in there without, you know, cross mixing families. You can sit with your family, leave 2 seats, and then another family can sit. Everybody, and I've been to the women's game against UND and went as a fan. And people, I will tell you, I'm not just saying this to sell the product here. People do keep their masks on. I was kind of proud, frankly, to be in that crowd. Like, people obeyed the rules and kept their masks on and just took them off to, you know, take a drink of water or eat, you know, some popcorn or whatever, and then put them right back on. I was proud of the way that Bison fans handled the rules and understood the responsibility that you have of going to the game. So, folks, February 1st, buy those tickets. Make sure that there's a crowd for Oral Roberts and a crowd for South Dakota State, because that is going to be phenomenal mid-major basketball. All right, Nate, thank you. We will probably get back together early next week to break it all down.